What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. And guess what? Today we are celebrating a very special episode of Senior Care Live, where we are recognizing the, are you ready for it? The 600th episode of Senior Care Live. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And 600, that when I say that that number, I'm just like, wow, that's a ton. It doesn't feel like it, though. It feels like I just started this thing a couple of weeks ago because my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Ben Socek. And Ben, when you're having fun, it doesn't feel like work. And 600 goes by just like that.
Hi, Steve. I'm honored and privileged to be here today on behalf of your 600th episode. That's a tremendous milestone. Congratulations, and love to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And for our listeners, going to want to write this information down. So we're going to talk about an incredible resource for you today with Ben Socek. Again, owner and operator of Home Downsizing Solutions, 855-291-5005, or online at home. Downsizing.com. And Ben, you have recently written a book. It's an excellent book. We had a meeting earlier this week with a senior living operator, and she was thrilled with the books. And I understand you're going to send her more of those, more of your books, because she deals all the time with families who they just don't know where to start.
Correct. That's one of the biggest things that I hear other people say, and that I've heard talking to my own clients, people that are selling a house, is and wanting to transition to some type of senior living or just downsizing to a smaller home is, you know, we've been in the house for 20, 30, 40 years, and I just have no idea where to even start. And so that's really what my company attempts to help people with. We specialize in the real estate portion of it, but we can facilitate the other items too, such as the estate sale companies, the moving companies, people to help sort with and what to do with all the stuff, things like that. So we can kind of be a resource for a homeowner that wants to do that. And that was also why I wrote my book, Stress-Free Home Downsizing, and a free downloadable accompaniment to that. The workbook can be had for free on the website at homedownsizingsolutions.com/workbook. And that's really meant to be something that a person can download, print out, and utilize to help them in the process of selling a house and downsizing.
All right. And Ben, this is no little pamphlet. This thing is 103 pages of absolutely fantastic information. And again, it's truly a phenomenal resource when you are considering, you know, moving from your home to, you know, maybe you're downsizing, maybe you're moving to a senior care community. And so, Ben, I get asked the question all the time, Steve, when do you consider
when is the right time to move to a senior care community? So you start off this workbook by addressing with the question, is it time to begin downsizing? And I love that question. And then I love what's to follow. Could you review that section, please?
Sure. Kind of adding on to what I mentioned earlier, and that I talked to a lot of people that just say, you know, I want to downsize. I know that I need to be downsizing. This house is just not where we need to be anymore. And so they're just overwhelmed. And so understandably, when a person's overwhelmed, your first instinct is to do nothing.
Well, you're paralyzed with just being overwhelmed by the whole thing. You just, instead of doing something, you just do nothing, and you're paralyzed with it.
Absolutely correct. And so the first step is, you know, section one is the time to begin downsizing. Just goes through kind of a self-reflection exercise of being able to take the thoughts that a person probably has and has been dealing with for a long time, and allows them to put something in writing and make those thoughts more concrete so that it's more easier to take that next step.
Okay, and I love that. And again, you're thinking about it. Well, this takes you from thinking about it to actually doing it. And so that's fantastic. And what are some of the other parts of that section?
It just goes through a room-by-room checklist. One of the things I believe you may or may not have mentioned earlier was kind of the 365-day test. By starting in maybe unused rooms first or lesser-used rooms first, going through the items and say, you know, individually, have I used this in the last year? Is this something that I think I need or think I want? Or is it something that has really just been sitting here for literally, you know, the last 12 months?
Well, and I love the example. You said, okay, the item is a blender. Why haven't I used it? I've never cooked a smoothie, you know, right? So I don't use a blender for that. So the action would be then maybe to donate that to maybe your kids or a neighbor or someone who might need a blender because you haven't touched it in 20 years.
Correct. And to start labeling some of those things of those different classifications, I guess, maybe, you know, I want or I need, I use constantly, or something like your example here that you're mentioning that's in the workbook. Something that I haven't used for the last year, and so would a child or grandchild want that item? Would a charity benefit from that item? And so kind of create a pile, I guess, or a classification of those things of saying donate or get rid of in some way.
All right. And then I love the room-by-room downsizing checklist. And again, I'm going to maybe just keep coming back to this word, a resource. It's a phenomenal resource. So a room-by-room downsizing checklist. Let's go through that. I think it's really good.
Sure. Again, like I mentioned, I recommend a person, if they're just starting out and they're under no time constraints, that the most logical place to start anyway is a room that is probably used the least. And that room, if it's being used the least, probably has things that are least used as well in that room. And so that's just an easier starting spot to go item by item in that room and start with the things that a person uses or does not use and is more easily able to classify those items. And so just starting to go room by room. That way, it's not quite as overwhelming as saying this whole house is full of stuff that I don't need anymore. Then it's much easier just taking one room at a time.
Yep, no doubt about it. And then that's the old adage of how do you eat an elephant? Mm-hmm. One bite at a time.
That's correct. I didn't want to use that overused analogy, but that's exactly right. You start somewhere, and when you start and make progress, it gives you confidence that that you can keep going and satisfaction that you're getting something accomplished that way.
All right. And then I love this scenario exercise. So what does staying put look like? And so the question is, you know, imagine staying in your current home for the next 5 years. So answer the following. What changes would need to be made to accommodate your needs? Some examples: widening hallways, installing grab bars, hiring a lawn care service, you know, all of those sort of things. And so a lot of times people will do that. They'll make home modifications and they'll bring in some, you know, home care company and that sort of thing in an effort to remain independent in their own home. But sometimes that's a good idea. Sometimes maybe not a great idea.
Mm-hmm. It just depends on the person's circumstances. But at least this way, if a person really thinks about it and forces themselves to write these things down, then it makes it more realistic, I think. And at least a person has a better plan that way of what they're going to need to do if they want to stay in their house, because understandably, if they've been there for a long time, they're comfortable probably. And so at least if they plan appropriately to be safe and comfortable in that home, then at least this helps them with that process.
All right. And then what changes would need to be made? And then you have another section, what would be the financial costs? So if you need to remodel, put in a stair lift, what are the utility bills, any of the repairs, put a dollar and cent figure to that. And then how would your daily life look? And then you have an action plan on deciding to downsize or not. Look, we're just barely touching the surface here. There are 103 pages of this stress-free home downsizing workbook. If you want your own, just go to homedownsizingsolutions.com/ what was that?
Workbook.
Okay. Mm-hmm. homedownsizing.com/workbook. And if all else fails, give Ben a call and he'll hook you up. 855-291-5005. And now the Senior Care Live question of the week. The best way to determine your home's value is to use a local real estate professional. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. And on this 600th episode, let's get back to that Senior Care Live question of the week. The best way to determine your home's value is to use a local real estate professional. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is true. The answer is true. And Ben, last month we talked about using one of these online services, and maybe that's okay to get maybe a kind of a ballpark value. It's certainly not going to be what a local real estate professional can provide. And I think some of the attachment, that service, get your estimate, it's free for a reason, because I think then they take your information and they send it out to all sorts of folks who explode your phone trying to sell you stuff.
That's typically correct. Some of those sites online that allow you to get a free estimate of your home value, again, like you mentioned, can be good. They can be in the ballpark. It kind of depends on which way the market is moving, or if the market is moving much to start with, whether up or down. But those services, the best that they can do is collect information that's online, such as from your county assessor and from other typically government websites, to get the square foot of the house, to get the makeup of what type of a house you have, ranch or split level, some of those items, and do the best it can to aggregate that information.
Yep.
And automatically come up with a value. They don't know necessarily what the unique features of your house, of course, and how nice or not your house is.
If it has a new roof, if it has a new HVAC system, all those things would impact the value.
Correct. Whether you put a new kitchen in with nicer high-level appliances and a solid surface countertops in your kitchen and bathrooms, it doesn't necessarily know those types of things. So to get the most accurate estimate of what the value of your house is, I would always recommend contacting maybe two or three different local real estate professionals.
Yep.
and so that they can show you the comparables, what has actually sold in your neighborhood, what's for sale, and as important in some markets, what the houses that were for sale that did not sell.
Mm-hmm.
That can be very critical depending on the type of market you're in.
Yep, absolutely. Ben Socek with Home Downsizing Solutions. And don't forget about Ben's generous offer to provide for you free of charge the Stress-Free Home Downsizing Workbook. This is a fantastic resource if you are in the process of downsizing, if you're thinking about downsizing, even if it's in the next year, like, oh, maybe next year we'll do something like this. I would strongly encourage you to reach out to Ben Socek. This workbook is 103 pages. It is a phenomenal resource, and we're going to move on from that. But Ben, what's the best way to reach you if someone is interested in a free copy of that?
Just go to homedownsizingsolutions.com/workbook. Or, of course, if you just go to homedownsizing.com, look under the resources tab, and there will be a link for that there.
Okay.
And as you mentioned, if all else fails, just call our office, yep. 855-291-5005. And also, going off of the question of the week, another free resource that we have, we certainly do have team members that can come out and provide what we believe an estimate of value is mm-hmm. based on comparables as well. And so that's something that we can provide for people that are thinking of selling. And what I think is a better service than a lot of real estate professionals will offer is, since we have team members that are licensed real estate agents, we can come out, show you comparables of what has sold, what hasn't sold, and give you an estimate of what we think the house, what you would net from the house if you sold it in a traditional manner.
Okay, yep.
Especially if you fix the house up, if it needs repairs and updates,
mm-hmm.
as well as if you sold it in a by listing it on the market just as is. And then, of course, the specialty with my company, with us just buying the house, we can, of course, tell you what our offer would be as a cash offer in an as-is condition. So a person kind of has three different options or estimates of value depending on how a person wants to sell their house.
Well, I think I see such a demand. I think this would be a really nice fit, I mean, for a lot of different people. But let's say, for example, and I assume that you have worked with some folks in this situation, that they have an elderly parent and something happened a little bit unexpected and they have to move. Maybe they go to the hospital or they go to the rehab center. Then maybe they have to move to assisted living or maybe even long-term care. And now you're the son or you're the daughter and you live, four states away. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you have responsibility for this house that mom or dad has lived in for 30 or 40 years, and all the stuff in it, the utilities keep coming, the tax bills keep coming, the insurance premiums just keep coming, all of it. And you're like, what am I going to do with this house? Mm-hmm. And I would assume that a lot of these adult children who just kind of suddenly, unexpectedly finding themselves in this position are like, look, we want to sell the house, we want a cash offer, and we just kind of want to move on from that. We don't want to put in, $60,000 or $70,000 of improvements and upgrades and repairs. We just want to sell the house and walk away. And that's one way that you could help that family.
Correct. What I don't think a lot of people realize, and a lot of real estate professionals, is that in a circumstance like that, there is value to some people with a company like mine that can take some of those concerns and issues off the plate for them. So I always tell people that if there's value in the benefits, if they value the benefits we offer, we can be a great solution. So if a person values things like not having to get a house into show-ready condition, not having to keep a house in show-ready condition, having strangers walking in and out of your house at who knows when. And
I don't love that part, by the way. I kind of hate it.
And we work with a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
And not having to worry about whether a person is actually qualified and is going to close on a loan in order to close on the house. The whole house inspections and the nitpicking that some people do with whole house inspections that just present another opportunity for the buyer to renegotiate again, and not knowing exactly when they're going to close. And the biggest thing is not knowing exactly what a person is going to net from the sale, because a lot of agents, when they list a house, of course, they'll say that well, I can list your house and sell your house for X number of dollars. Well, that's a gross number. That's not the net number that a person's going to put in their pocket. That can be a much different number. And so we remove a lot of those unknowns for people.
All right. Mr. Ben Socek, he's the owner and operator and founder of Home Downsizing Solutions. You can visit online at homedownsizing.com, or you could reach out on a toll-free number anywhere in the entire country, 855-291-5005. And be sure to ask Ben, you know, about his services, about that free resource. It's a fantastic workbook. We could probably talk about that for a couple of hours. So be sure to ask Ben about that. And Ben, thanks so much for being here today and help me celebrate that 600th episode of the program. It's been great as always.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve, and congratulations again on that. And if anyone has any questions that I can assist with or for that free workbook, just let us know.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, visit SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so today we're celebrating and recognizing the 600th episode of the program. And let me say, that's a lot. Sean, 600 episodes of the program, that's a lot of programs.
Well, we were just talking off mic about math.
Yeah.
So 600 programs over the course, you know, doing one a week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never missed one. It started first July, the first or second of 2013. So do the math. There it is. So
yeah. Amazing.
Yep,
so going on 12 years. So
yep. And you've been with me for a lot of those years, and yeah, I appreciate your friendship and all your support. And for our listeners, trust me, Sean makes me sound much better than I really am.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks for that.
No, anytime. Thank you.
All right. So I get a lot of questions, and they're kind of the same questions. And as you already know, if you've listened to the program any length of time at all, you know that if I'm getting the same question over and over, I get that little nudge saying, well, if all of these folks have these questions, then a lot of my listeners will also have the same questions. So let's talk today about the different levels of care available out there in the world of senior care communities. Let's talk about the average monthly pricing of these. And you might want to hold on to your wallet because some of these are getting pretty expensive. I want to clear it up. I was speaking with some potential clients earlier this week, and they got back with me, and they're gonna sign on with Senior Care Consulting. We're gonna help them do a great job and honor their elderly loved one by doing our very best job to find them the absolute best place available, and then that's where they can get the care, 24-hour care that they need and they deserve. But we were talking about that, and they're like, well, what's the difference between, you know, independent living? What is that? What does it mean? And what is assisted living? And then what is that long-term care? Or sometimes, you know, people still refer to that as a nursing home, which is kind of a dirty word in the business because that comes along with kind of some negative connotations or maybe some baggage. But it's long-term care. That's the medical level of care. It's the highest level of care that you can get. So let's start off at the beginning with independent living. Let me make this point extremely clear. There is zero care provided at an independent living community. It does not provide care, and an independent living community does not operate by a licensure through the state. There is no license. There may be a business license, but there is no licensure with the description of exactly what you have to offer as far as, you know, the type of care and all that stuff. So, but it is an important part of this ecosystem, if you will, because as we spoke with in the first part of the program with Ben Socek with Home Downsizing Solutions, a lot of people are living in the house that they've lived in for a few decades or more. And don't quote me on this, but I've read a lot of different stories and a lot of different statistics that say that the average person, you know, uses about 30% of their house, something like that, and they don't even use half their house. They use the same thing. They use a bedroom, they use a bathroom, the kitchen, and you know, part of their living room. And they don't use the other three bedrooms or the other two baths. They don't use the basement. They don't use the upstairs. They don't use the formal dining room, and all it goes on and on and on and on. And so a lot of times you're going to want to just have a lifestyle change and downsize and move out of that into an independent living apartment. You could also find freestanding villas and maybe duplexes and fourplexes, that sort of thing. But I would say by and large throughout the entire country, the majority of inventory would be an apartment. And these are nice apartments by and large. Some are nicer than others, but most of these apartments are pretty nice. And you are on your own. You're fully independent, but you're not alone. You are around a lot of other people. If there's an emergency, you can push a button and someone's going to check on you. They're not going to come in and provide care. They're not licensed or authorized to touch you and provide CPR, that sort of thing. But they can check on you. They can call 911. They can call your family. They can sit with you for a while until help arrives. But my point is, it's not a care community. So you have a nice apartment. It could be a studio, one bedroom, two bedroom. You could have much larger than that, three bedroom den. Some of these are huge. And you have some meals provided. All of them that I'm aware of provide at least one meal per day. Most of them, two. I just toured a place earlier this week. What a cool place it was here in the Kansas City metro area. Really cool place. And they provide breakfast and a really nice large dinner. But if you want lunch, you can add that for $250 a month. You can have all three meals provided. Never have to cook again. But in your apartment, you have a fully equipped kitchen. With all of the equipment, so you can cook whatever you want, whenever you want. You can do some dishes, run them in the dishwasher. They'll have a stove and an oven and a microwave, refrigerator, freezer, etc. There are some opportunities for socialization, some activities. They have transportation to and from, like the one lady, she said, we have medical appointments on Tuesday and Thursday. Every week we'll run out to the grocery store, and then we might make a run out to like Walmart or Target or something like that, just kind of some general shopping. And so let me just talk about the cost of these places. And again, you're downsizing, you're not paying utilities, you're not doing any maintenance, you're never scooping snow, you're never mowing grass again. So there's a lot of nice support there. They're providing some of the meals, maybe all of the meals. Some places have dining dollars or meal credits where you can just eat what you want when you want throughout the month. So these places, on average, are going to run somewhere between $3,500 per month and maybe $5,500 per month. Can you find a place for less than that? Yes, you can. I was just in one this last week, and it was very nice. About $2,300 for a really nice one-bedroom apartment with two meals a day provided. It's great value. I was very surprised. But on average, $3,500 to $5,500 is going to cover most places. Can you spend more than that? Yep, you absolutely can. So that's independent living. Then if you move to that next step, so let's say you're declining a little bit. Let's say you need a little bit of help getting dressed. You're getting a little bit forgetful, so if someone could help you manage and distribute your medications, maybe that would be really helpful. I'm a little insecure getting in and out of the shower. It'd be great if someone could help me in the shower. I don't need help showering, but just help me get in and out, because I had a fall one time, and I'm a little bit afraid of that, and I don't want that to happen again. So help me with that. a couple other things, and I'm good to go. So you move to the assisted living level of care. So what the assisted living level of care is, it is a social model. It is not a medical model. But there's a tremendous amount of support. Okay, so they can help you minimally or fully with your ADLs. And that, if you hear that term, that stands for activities of daily living. So that would be help minimally or fully with your bathing, dressing, grooming, and toileting. They can and they will manage your medications, order them, reorder them, distribute your medications, make sure you get the right meds on time, properly. They can help you with incontinence support to a point. They all have their limitations and thresholds with that, but they can help you out with that as well. At this point, they make all of your meals every day. They provide your snacks, your hydration. There's a full slate of activities for meaningful social engagement. And doctors make house calls. So instead of having to go out, and you're welcome to go see your family doctor that you've seen for the last, you know, how long? Like my doctor, I've seen him for probably about 25 years. And so you're welcome to see them, but if you don't want to do that, you can switch to a doctor who will come to your apartment, essentially making a house call. There is transportation to go out to see your doctor, maybe see specialists and that sort of thing. So there is a tremendous amount of support at that assisted living level of care. But you want to know how much it costs? Stay tuned, because on the other side, I'm going to share the average cost of assisted living.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. And again, thanks for being here with me on the 600th episode of Senior Care Live. Man, I'm so proud of that. It hasn't really hit me yet. 600 episodes, that's a lot. And again, it really does not feel like 600. That sounds like a huge number, and it is. But like they say, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I love this program. I have not missed one. I should not. Sean, I better knock on wood here. I'm knocking. But I have not missed one show in 600. I've been here every single week. I've not had any reruns, nothing. And so, and God willing, another 600 more. So, all right. So let's go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to say, has your wife asked you to take a break?
No, she likes it when I'm gone. No, I'm just kidding. No, she knows I love it, and she's very supportive of it. So, she's been literally nothing but supportive of it. So, back to that assisted living level of care. Again, it's a social model that can help you minimally or fully with your activities of daily living, such as bathing, dressing, grooming, toileting. That can help with incontinence support. They'll distribute your medications. Make sure you get those on time. There's a full slate of activities for meaningful social engagement. Doctors make house calls. There's transportation to go out to medical appointments. There's just so much to like about it. So the cost is somewhere, I'm just going to give you an average, this should cover the majority of places, $6,000 per month up to $9,000 per month. Now, again, just like independent living, can you find a place for $5,000? Can you spend $10,000? Yep, you can go a little lower, a little higher, but I think that's going to cover the majority of places. So a couple of things influence the cost of assisted living. Number one, the size of your apartment. So a studio apartment is less than a one-bedroom apartment, and that's less than a two-bedroom apartment. So the space, the amount of space that you have would impact that. And then the other aspect that would impact the cost of assisted living is how much care you need. and a couple of exceptions to this, but I think the majority of assisted living communities use the pricing model of a base plus a level of care charge. What we mean by that is, say it's a one bedroom. And again, this is just a recent example. I took a tour of this place as independent living, assisted living. I was really surprised. It was very nice. And I was really surprised by their pricing. I think it was overly fair. So that a base price of a one-bedroom assisted living community at $4,200. And then they had four levels of care on top of that. So how that works is everyone would pay $4,200 for this one-bedroom apartment. And then if you need a little bit of help, you would pay $250 on top of that base. If you need a little more help than that, it's $500. That's level of care two, level of care three, $750. And then their top level of care four, which would be their maximum amount that they could help you, would top out at $1,000, again, for the level of care charge added onto the base. Most places work like that. And they'll do an assessment, and they'll assign a number of points to the tasks that they have to help you with. And then, you know, 0 to 5 points, level one, you know, 6 to 10, level two, et cetera, et cetera. They all have their different ways to do that. So that's how that works. Now, the exception to that, and I'm seeing this more and more, and my clients prefer this, frankly, is a flat fee for service. You move into a one-bedroom apartment, whether you need a little bit of help or a lot of help, it's $6,200 or whatever the number is, okay? You move in, you need a little bit of help, we got you covered. You need a lot of help, we got you covered. It's a flat fee, and you don't have to worry about all of this level of care stuff. That's really easy to budget. There are no surprises at the end of the month. There are no changes, there are no cost increases, which always rub people the wrong way, even if it's justified. So that flat fee for service is pretty attractive to a lot of people. But again, your average cost, $6,000 to $9,000, is going to cover most assisted living communities. And then let's move to the highest level of care, long-term care level of care. Some people, again, still refer to that as a nursing home or skilled nursing and rehab or the health center, a lot of different terminologies out there, a lot of different terms. This is the medical model. So they can offer everything that assisted living offers, plus full medical care. So you have registered nurses here, you have LPNs, you have more staffing in general. They can provide a lot heavier physical care, plus all this medical care and support. So what I mean by that, let's say you have wound care needs and your wound care, your dressing, your bandages need to be tended to every single day. They can do that. Let's say you have a urinary catheter that has to be monitored, flushed properly, changed out. They can do that. You have you require tube feeding and you have to make sure that there's no infection at the site. You have to properly administer that, so that's either through a drip, a pump, or a bolus. And so, right, so you can do that. Let's say you're diabetic with insulin injections required, pain management. Let's say that, and God bless you, but you're so weak that it takes two staff members or maybe even a mechanical lift to help you with that. Okay, they can do all of that at that long-term care level of care. Are there a few exceptions for assisted living who could do maybe some of that stuff? Yes, there are a few. I'm talking wide generalities here and would catch the majority of places. Now, at long-term care, you have two options. You have a shared room, and that means you have a roommate. Now, and before you go, oh, no, I'm not interested in that, hear me out. In long-term care, your room is designed really for a place for you to sleep. That's where you're going to sleep overnight, take some naps, that sort of thing, maybe read a book, that kind of thing. But throughout the rest of the day, you're using the rest of the building, the community, doing things around the building. So you're not actually in your room all the time. And so that makes this a little more doable, I think, once you realize how it works. So a shared room is going to be somewhere between $8,000 and $9,500 per month. And then if you want a private room, it comes at quite a premium, $11,000 to $15,000, $16,000 a month It is unbelievably expensive. And so I just wanted to cover kind of the main three. There are all sorts of other things I can talk about. Maybe I'll do that on another program. But look, if this sounds complicated and it's getting over your head very, very quickly, I have a commercial right now that says, just take a breath and call Senior Care Consulting, right? And so I would invite you, if you need help navigating all of this, if you need to figure out what you need and then your best fits available, and if you want to do it right and do the very best for your loved one, I would be honored to work with you. Give us a call. We offer a free consultation at 913-945-2800 or visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com. All right. How about that for the 600th episode? It still kind of blows my mind. And again, thanks so much for being here today. I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.